The Vital Statistics of Mental Health with psychologist David Abramson is brought to you by the High FM Helpline. Caring, compassionate, confidential. 0800 24 24 36.
David Abramson, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard Feldman. How can you?
Excellent, thank you. I don't know, I'm just like a bit disappointed in South Africans because people are cynical. They are so cynical. They're always looking for the angle. Are we trained that way, David, or are we born that way?
Yeah, no, we spoke about this negative bias that we all have. But I think, you know, when things are not going well around us, you know, then it's much harder to see the positive. It is so much harder. So, yeah, it does take a lot more work. It's to be conscious of the positive takes a lot of energy. And I think at the moment, people are not feeling very energetic. They're using a lot of their energy to, you know, to get through this this pandemic. So it is a bit of a vicious cycle at the moment.
There's a tremendous amount of loss this year, and of course we're heading into Rosh Hashanah. We've been speaking to people, asking them the different, you know, what they feel about this year, last year, etc. But the one thing that we can't get away from, even if we want to reframe and look at some of the positives, and there've been tremendous positives that have come out of this year, the one thing we can't get away from is the sense of loss. And you and I have spoken about it before, especially with our children. They will never get this time back. Those of our kids who have lost out on, I don't know whether it is tours of playing rugby first team. Well, none of my kids ever in the history of my family. No one ever lost out on that because of a lost opportunity. It was always just because of a loss of talent or no talent. But either way, there's been loss, David, and it's real. This loss.
Yeah.
How do we deal with that?
Well, it's so real. And I think for me, the first thing is that to acknowledge that there has been so many losses. I mean, there's been very clear losses, like, you know, a death, tragic death of a family member or a friend, but also the, you know, the loss of an ability to earn a living or as you're saying, for young children, like not having a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah that they so imagined they were going to have.
Yes. It's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing. Cancelling a trip, you know, that you had saved for, or like you say, a matric dance or a school concert that never happened. And as you say, these things we're not going to get back. But I think that's the point, is that, and I know we mentioned this last time, but really pain, and I'm going to say this again, pain and loss is not a competition. And I think for me, this is the most important thing, that we tend to as human beings say, well, you know, it's not as bad as this person, or, we minimize it and understand it.
So I shouldn't say that to my kids. I shouldn't say when they're complaining, guys, this is not Auschwitz. I shouldn't say that. That's not healthy parenting. Am I right from what you say?
Not parenting. And by the way, I'm sure your kids have lost out on being the debating captains. So, you know, it's.
Yeah, well, it could be. That could be their loss. But,
100%. And your kids have got other very strong strengths besides their rugby skills, especially your daughter. Howard, I think for me, the most important thing is absolutely that we don't want to always, because we can always kind of find a way to two things. I think try and make, and I think we do this as human beings. We kind of say things like, you know, it's not as bad. Let's distract you. You know, let's try and do something to make it better. Because we don't like to feel pain. And then the other thing is we belittle the pain that people experience because it's not as bad as you say, you know, as someone else that, you know, that's experienced something worse. So I think, as I say, it's not a contest. And I think when you say, how do we go about it, is to actually, you know, and this is indicative of, I think for me, and I'm going to maybe say that we, you know, we think too much these days, because now when we think about pain and the things we've lost, we think about, you know, that we think about what we're thinking and feeling, when we take it a step further where we should just stop and say, I'm feeling sad and I'm feeling this grief, I'm feeling this loss, and let me allow myself to feel it. So I think the first step is not to belittle one's feeling and not to then take it a little bit further and say, but am I justified to feel this? If you're feeling it, you're feeling it. And so allow yourself to feel it. And even if it compared to someone else, you know, who's had a bigger loss, more grief, it does not mean that you should just belittle yours and just, you know, I suppose not acknowledge it and give it the time that it and the, the acknowledgement that it deserves.
So, David, is it important to make up for it? And when we're talking to our kids, and I'm thinking that specifically, so let's just say my daughter's missed out on an Israel trip. Some kids have missed out on having a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah or a party of some sort, maybe a holiday of that people were looking forward to. There's a tremendous amount of loss that we could all think about. And I'd love your thoughts, and I'd love to hear what you're thinking on 34519 or 0618951019. Is it important to make that up, or to find a way to make it up, or is it just important to acknowledge and say, you know what, yes, you did miss out on this this tour or this Israel trip that you would have done in grade 10. I'm sorry about that. It's awful. Or do we need to say, but you know what, let's find another way to have another trip or have a party with all of your friends for your bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah when everybody can be together? Is that important? Does it ever rectify what was?
No, I think for me, a loss is a loss, you know, a loss, you know, like I heard you speaking earlier about, you know, people in Israel having, you know, Rosh Hashanah, you know, tonight, their dinner tonight.
When it's going to be empty. Know, it's going to be meaningless, no matter what they try and do, in my view.
I agree with you. And it's, you know, somehow we are, you know, of course they'll go in getting together, but it's not Rosh Hashanah. And it's not the same, and it will be a loss. And I think for me, sure, we can try and compensate and make another trip, or, you know, at another time, or try and compensate in some ways, having a party at another time for your bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, or be in, you know, try and make sure that the school does another play. But a loss is a loss. And that's the most important thing, Howard, is that we're saying there is a loss and there's no making up for it. But I do think for me, and it's so interesting because, you know, when we think about loss and grieving, everyone kind of thinks about Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and she had these five stages of grief. And it's so interesting now, because a very, very, well-known, person who worked with her was a guy called David Kessler. And he's developing a sixth stage. And that's finding meaning in loss. And I think for me, it's so significant, you know, when it comes to what we're experiencing now with, you know, with the loss of everything that we've experienced with the COVID, pandemic, because I think for me, that's the point, is not about making up, you know, things and trying to make things better by trying to replace the things that we've lost, but really about trying to find meaning in the loss. And I think for me, we as human beings, unfortunately, we learn the most about ourselves, about living, when we are struggling, you know, when we are having emotional difficulties. So hopefully what we can do is kind of learn and find meaning in what we've been through, and hopefully take things forward, you know. And it's so profound that we're speaking about it, you know, just before Rosh Hashanah, because I think it is about, very much about thinking about what we have lost, what has changed, and to really try and, you know, keep that feeling, because yes, we are going to gain some things back, but again, to really, you know, to be mindful and grateful of what we have when we have it, rather than when we don't. So I think that's part of the challenge that we have as human beings, is to actually, you know, actually reflect back now on when things were tough, and when we've got it, just to really, as I say, be so thankful that we have it, and then it just tastes so much sweeter.
So I'd love to hear from our listeners on 34519 or 0618951019. What are some of the things? Chatting to psychologist in a private practice, David Abramson, and we are talking about loss. Kim says, you are so on the right track. This is the exact discussion. The loss is the loss, and you just can't replace it. My daughter lost out on her gap year. We lost out on a world family reunion. So, these are some of the things that people have lost. Delana says, of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most. I do hear that. I do. And I certainly think that many of us have slipped somewhere or hovered dangerously between sanity and insanity. Mervyn says, you only appreciate something when it is lost. You appreciate life when you are dead. Oh no, Mervyn, you can't appreciate life when you're dead. You're dead. I don't know. Do people appreciate life? How do we even know that? David, help me here.
Well, absolutely. I love it. I think, yeah, it's so important what, you know, I agree with what, you know, the listeners are saying that, you know, I think now, you know, on Rosh Hashanah, we should all sit down but I think also very importantly to acknowledge the loss. But I think, you know, again, not to always put a positive spin on things, because that's kind of contradictory to what we're saying. Feel the loss, because, you know, it might sound like a byline, but emotion needs motion. You know, you need to feel it. You know, when psychologists say, you know, don't repress things. And I think that said a lot, because emotions that are stuck and that are pushed down are the ones that cause us the most difficulty, because they come out in other ways, you know, be it physical or the way we our emotions when we relate to other people. So it's so important to feel it.
It's going to come out one way or another. Absolutely.
Yes. But with that said, I think it's also a great time to look back and see what we lost, which we actually don't want back. Because I think there are, you know, if we think about it, we've lost some things which maybe weren't so productive in our lives. And I think it's, you know, again, a good opportunity to look back and say, what didn't work? What wasn't working? And what did we really gain, in this COVID that actually was a positive? And certainly for a lot of people, it's that rushing around, not aimlessly, but certainly it feels, you know, just like headless chickens running around and not having time to stop and appreciate things around us. So I think that's also not an unproductive thing to do, is to think about, you know, the losses that we actually want to not regain.
Ruth K says, thank you, David, for your wonderful, sensible advice today, as always. Shana tova umetuka to you and your family. That is from Ruth K. And Karen says, in every bit of misery, we do need to try and find the beauty. It is there. Pesach, I was on my own and I manage. Now things are better. And I think it's been very, very difficult, David, for people that live on their own and had to deal with, whether it's Jewish festivals, whether it's, non-Jewish festivals, it doesn't really matter. That time, people living on their own have, I think, struggled the most this year.
There's no question. I mean, and again, you know, we've actually seen, I mean, you know, when it comes to, this is one of the hardest things, I think, with this pandemic is that, and we've said this, but this is so important, that as human beings, when we are struggling, and we see it in communities, when we are struggling, when we have a loss, a grief, you know, we're talking about today, we quite naturally gravitate towards each other. We physically move together to support each other in an emotional and physical way. And we just weren't able to do that. And this has made this so much more difficult for people in general, but even more so for people who are alone, because we, you know, always think about, and I think I said this before, you know, when you in jail, you know, and they want to punish the most hardened criminal, they put them into solitary confinement. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest punishment you can give someone. And so I think absolutely, I think it's been unbelievably difficult, for people who, especially elderly people or people who have got a pre-existing condition, not to be able to interact with the world and certainly not to be in touch physically and, you know, face to face with people who, you know, support them. So it has been a very, very difficult time.
Indeed. David Abramson, it is 8:27. This is where we love and leave you, wishing you and your family a Shana Tova, a blessed, happy, healthy year, and a year of only good things. Thank you, as always, for your incredible input every Thursday in the world of psychology.
My pleasure, Howard. Thank you.